Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be here today. Oh Lord, I pray that thou wouldst bless this congregation, both in this building and via the internet all over the world, that thou wouldst help us to hear thy word, not only to hear it, but to keep it, and to live in the depth of it, and to walk within the confines of it. Oh Lord, thy word is truth. Thy word is power. Thy word will get us ready for that great and glad and glorious day of thine appearing. O Lord, we yield ourselves to thee right now. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear something, O Lord, from thy throne. O Lord God, pour out thy spirit upon us. Let thy word come alive within us. And help us, O God, to respond to it. Lord, thou art the creator of all this universe. Thou hast all power. And thou didst come here in the form of a man to save us, to shed thy precious blood on the cross of Calvary, to receive stripes for our healing. O Lord, thou didst come that we might receive the benefits of thy mercy and of thy grace. And now, Lord, help us as being completely unworthy and yet accounted worthy through the blood to rejoice in the hope that is set before us, for the time is at hand and thy coming is nigh. O Lord, help us as we study thy word now in Jesus' name. O Lord, help us to understand it, perceive it. And, oh God, I pray that it would be working effectually and fervently within our hearts. Let the evil one not be able to hinder us, but let him be driven out, that he'd have no power over us at all. And we ask this in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We are in the Sermon on the Mount, in the third part. Chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. And here Jesus lifted up his voice from the mountainside and he said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And I'll read on in just a moment, but first of all, I want to tell you that we need to understand what this means and what this doesn't mean. We have to draw parameters around it so we can understand it. We know that we must make judgment calls. We do it every day, don't we? We have to make decisions as to what is right, what is wrong. But what it's talking about here is when you take another man's soul and you judge that man or that woman's soul. And you, in your own mind, and through your own emotions, and because you're upset, put that person in hell, or damn that person, or condemn that person, or whatever. That's what it's talking about here. Because if you see someone that is offensive to you, just remember that when you judge that person, you need to commend that person to God. If you come against that person harshly, you're going to be measured by your own harshness. The Lord said he would measure the very same thing out to you that you measured out to that person. So really, that's quite a thought, isn't it? And quite fair. No, there's only one who can truly judge all things. But this verse is often used by people who will go out and hang out in the tavern. And I knew a man in Clintonville. He knew his Bible up and down, frontward, backward. He'd quote verses, tell you right where they were found. He was right on, right in context. And he'd sit in the tavern and soak up beer. And it just obviously was not right. I mean, there's something drastically wrong with that. Wouldn't that bother you?
Amen.
You see? And you can say to that person, look, this isn't right according to the Word of God. You know, you've got to leave that stuff alone. Walk away from it. No man can serve two masters. You've got to serve one or the other. Love the one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You can't have it both ways. Okay? And then, but you don't have to put them in hell. Put them in your prayers.
Amen.
Call upon God. If somebody's living the wrong way and they know better, but for some reason they just keep doing it, keep them in your prayers. You never know at what point God is going to turn that situation around. Okay? And we're going to elaborate on this a little more, but first of all, let's read on. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Of course, what is a hypocrite? A play actor. It's a Greek word, actually. In fact, when I was working at UW Oshkosh, the Frederick March Theater, the theatrical division there at the university, they had a newspaper that the theater put out. It was called The Hypocrite. The first time I saw that, I looked at it and thought, what is this? And it explained under the word hypocrite that hypocrite means actor. Okay? And so there are those, unfortunately, that are not Christian except that they put on an act. And that's sad. Because the true light will always be revealed in its strength from heaven, and hypocrisy will always be exposed. Hypocrisy will not last. You know, there's an entire religion that seems to have a problem with this. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But he says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So how can you look at your brother and say, hey, you've got a little sliver, a little speck of something in your eye there. We got to get that out of there. You got trouble, you know, when you've got a 2x4 in your own, which is the beam, okay? So he's saying that's hypocrisy. Those who want to correct and straighten everybody out all the time. But there is an entire religion that seems to major in that sort of a thing. And it's all coming back against them right now, and it's Roman Catholicism.
Amen.
And her daughters, she has daughters. And it's all coming back to them now. But for all those years, those centuries, killing all those people. You know, you hear about 6 million Jews being killed. That'd be a horrible thing. 6 million. Try 600 million Christians killed by Rome. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs and so forth, and what they would do is they would condemn. They would have their anathemas, their curses. And they would come against people and ruthlessly convert or die. And our history is full of pages of blood from all of those years. It's a shocking thing when you think about it. Judgment Day is going to really reveal a lot. It's all going to come forth. But anyway, that particular system keeps people feeling guilty, keep coming back, and do your penance and do your, come to confession and keep doing this and always putting you down all the time. When there is liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus sets us free. Free from the power of sin. Religion controls people. It corrals them. It draws them together and intimidates them. The Lord didn't call us together to be a religion. He didn't go to Calvary to build religions. Jesus went to Calvary to save your soul individually. He went there for you. He knew your name. And he stayed on that cross until he said, "It is finished."
Amen.
All right? So, we see then that hypocrisy will come out in the end. All the religious hypocrisy, it'll all be there. And isn't it a sad state of affairs, today with all these televangelists and this merchandising of religion? It's not just Catholicism, it's all these other ones too. All these books that are written a while back there was one called The Prayer of Jabez. Buy this book, pray this prayer, and you'll be rich. And they sold them by the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And then there's Rick Warren with his Saddleback Church out there. And where is he, out in California? Yeah. And thousands of people in his congregation. And he wrote that Purpose-Driven Church in several books, actually. Became a multimillionaire many times over. And then, where do you find him all of a sudden? A member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, headquartered at 58 East 68th Street in New York City, Upper East Side. I've been in their building three times, got kicked out three times. They don't like visitors. In fact, one of the guards said that we don't even let the press in here. Nobody comes in here. So I said, "Well, I'm just really curious here. What are you hiding? What's going on here?" So I stood across the street and I was taking some pictures. I don't think you could do that anymore either with all this terrorism stuff. They'd probably have you locked up in minutes. But anyway, two women came walking across the street out of the front door, the CFR. And they stood next to us. We were praying and talking. I started talking to this woman. I said, "You work for the CFR?" She said, "Yep." She said, "Do you know what that is?" I said, "I know exactly what it is. It was started by John D. Rockefeller for the purpose of one worldism." She said, "Oh, no, none of that is right." And then the other one standing there said, "Yeah, it is." She's arguing with her own companion. So I said, "I know what this is all about, And I said, "I write about it in my newsletter." She said, "Oh, you have a newsletter?" I said, "Yes, I do." "And what's your URL? I said, "I don't even know. I just put out a newsletter. And it's on the computer. Just look up Last Trumpet Ministries. You'll find it." And I said, "Do you have an agenda?" And she said, the older one said, "No, we have no agenda." I said, "Okay, now here's a super secret organization. They give you the bum's rush out." And I told her, I said, "All I want to do is take a picture of the dedicatory plaque of Harold Pratt. It's the Harold Pratt building. And she said, I'll tell you what, give me your camera. I'll get a picture for you. Yeah, right. You know? So, anyway, I said, no, that's fine. We'll forego that. But I said, do you have an agenda? She said, no, we don't. The other one said, sure we do. I said, you might as well tell me what it is. And she said, to make sure that the United States of America is not isolationist. In other words, to ensure that we are part of a one world government. A private organization, it's not government, it's above government. Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, is a member. And if you look it up on the internet, you will find that he has been given the job of general overseer of all Christianity in the United States. And you look at Christianity in the United States, and it's pathetic. Amen. Thank God he has a remnant people that still pray, Amen. That know their God. Yeah. I thank God for taking me through tough times so I get to know him better. I can't afford to be lax in any way at all. I've got to push forward hard, reach out, hear from heaven. Lord, show us what to do. Guide us, direct us, open our eyes, open our understanding. We don't have time for all these social events and game playing and nonsense and foolishness that churches are so involved in. All the merchandising of religion, the selling of goods. There was a pastor up in Shawano, Wisconsin. Anybody know where Shawano is?
Yeah.
Assembly of God. He was selling holy tennis shoes. He had all the different sizes, and he'd anoint them with oil and pray over them. They'd be holy. I don't know if that'd put a spring in your step or what. And people would buy them. But you look at the auditoriums, there's some of these money grabbers. And they'll get up and there'll be thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people there. And they get caught up in the movement of this whole thing. And you know what? It's not God.
That's right.
It's just not God at all. So that's the way things are in our land. But God still has a people. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, for an example, has a what they call a gay summer camp in Australia. The Assembly of God churches have Christian nightclubs. We need prayer meetings.
That's right.
Not Christian nightclubs. There was a Baptist minister who said that he holds his Bible studies. He gets the men of the church together for men's Bible studies and he holds them at Hooters. Some kind of a bar restaurant, I think it is. And he said because there they can at least be a witness to the others. Can you imagine this? It goes on and on and on. But where, oh where, oh where are the people of God today? You know, I can understand the scripture says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
The last thing I'd want is for anybody to feel sorry for me because I'm in a far better position right now than I've ever been before. Physically, it's painful. It's difficult. I have a lot of trouble. trouble with my balance, trouble with seeing. I may never drive again. I might not. It's up to the Lord. It depends how I heal. But none of that matters to me anymore. I know there's a God in heaven who's coming back soon. And I just want to work for Him and get people ready. And He's still giving me a voice to cry out.
Amen.
And He's a good God.
Amen.
Whatever He needs to do to get our attention, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now we go to verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Boy, there's a case against having a Bible study at Hooters, isn't there? Lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. One thing about dogs and swine, they don't have any appreciation for the finer things in life. You understand what I'm saying? The dog will go after the bones, and the pigs will eat anything, just about. But he's saying here that there are those that are unworthy to hear. They'll mock. They'll laugh. Did you ever try to get through to somebody and they just mock you? They just throw it right back at you. Well, what you do is you move forward. And you know what? You get into the Apostle Peter. He wrote about the dog returning to his own vomit, and the pig that was washed, the sow that was washed goes right back to the old mud hole. That's something you can wash a pig. Spray him down good, hose him down, wash him with perfume soap, tie a little bow around his ear, get him all nice and clean. What's he going to do? You know, right back to the mud hole. Roll around and wallow in it. Right? God's saying there are people like that. And there also, he mentions the dog returning to his own vomit again. The reason I brought that up is he's talking about dogs and pigs here, and he does also in through the Apostle Peter. You know, a dog sometimes will go out and he'll be, prowling around, and he'll find an old dead rabbit. Been laying there a couple of days, rotting. He'll start eating it. And he comes back home, and he starts walking funny and acting funny, and maybe starts eating a little grass or something, and all of a sudden he'll vomit up that old rotten rabbit. I'm destroying your lunch, I know. And he'll walk away from it after he vomits it up, and then he'll get thinking about it later on. He'll go back and eat his own vomit. Strange phenomenon. But people do this with the things that they do in their life. They go back for more of what made them sick in the first place. Only God can deliver and set free. And then he says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What an invitation. God is saying to me and to you, Ask. Oh, hallelujah. I am so thankful. You know, my wife bought me this chair at home, up in my little office, because I've been working at home now almost all the time. And it's one of these, it was half price, and it was, it goes back, it like, it rocks, but it also reclines, and it goes way back, you can lay almost flat. And I'll tell you what, I like to get back there and just lay back and just talk to God. Boy, that chair is awesome. I just really enjoy it. It's my prayer chair. Hallelujah. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I believe that people quit too soon. They may ask a little bit. They might seek somewhat. Maybe a faint knock. But there's no persistence. We live in a time when people do quit far too easily. And they're almost everything that they do. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's 100%. That's the promise of God. That means if you didn't, you quit too soon. Praise the Lord. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You have no power to open, but God has the power to open. But you do have the power to knock. Oh, this means we should seek God. We should get in there and put our effort forth and never quit. Or what man is there of you? Whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? You've got this little son that you love and you want some bread. What are you going to do, give him a rock? You wouldn't, would you? He's hungry. No, you wouldn't do that. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Certainly you wouldn't do that either. If ye then, being evil... Doesn't the Lord lay it right on the line there? Talking to all these people. Telling them they're evil. Well, I am too. Evil. Evil born in sin. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And sin did my mother conceive me. A lot of people don't like to think of themselves as being evil. But God has to open our blind soul eyes. Let sin be sin. And let's face it, we're evil people without God to take our sins away. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Including all of his promises, the promised Holy Ghost. Amen. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We sometimes call that the golden rule. That's different. The golden rule of the world is he who has the gold makes the rules. Actually, that's what the Bible says too. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Did you ever think about how profound that is? That we live in a land that is a debtor nation. Everybody is so in debt. The primary concern is, what is my credit number? So you can go into debt even more. Credit number shouldn't make any difference. And now they're setting your insurance rates and everything else by your credit number. How does that affect, you know, your car insurance, whatever? If your credit score is low, you pay more money. Does that make you a worse driver if you owe money? It has nothing to do with it. So these are incredible times. The golden rule. If you want to be treated well, treat others well. Just that simple. There was a man who started a company, actually, called the Golden Rule Company. Does anybody here happen to know what that company became? Everybody's heard of it. It was called the Golden Rule when it first started, and for a number of years after. Just curious, anybody knows that? Well, I'll tell you who started the company, and then I'll answer the question. James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny, started the Golden Rule Company. And as late as the 1970s, if somebody shoplifted in a J.C. Penney store, they let them go. They, you know, cautioned them, reprimanded them, let them go. Which I think is amazing. But J.C. Penney would not allow any of his employees to do certain things. If you worked for J.C. Penney, you had to be at home by 10 o'clock at night. He didn't want people working for him that ran around in the town. A man could not be shaved at a barber shop because that was considered kind of a playboy sort of a guy, you know? And this whole list of rules that you had to follow or you couldn't work for him. Well, those were the days, huh? Anyway, sometimes I do appreciate a little of this history once in a while. I don't know. So now he says in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Now when he says straight here, straight means a very narrow, narrow area. Straight and narrow, very narrow. As if in a waterway between two land bodies, like the Strait of Magellan or I don't feel very geographical today, I guess. But in various places in the world, you have Strait of Gibraltar, for an example. Very narrow area. And he says, this is the way to heaven. It's narrow, straight. But wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There are all kinds of ways to go to hell. But only one way to get to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Doesn't that hit you hard? Few there be that find it. Thank God that He helps us find the way. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. A false prophet in sheep's clothing. Well, now that's interesting, because these ministers, Catholic priests, Lutheran ministers, so forth, I used to be a Old Line Missouri Synod Lutheran years ago, and but that was my mother's side. My father's side was Catholicism, and there was, of course, the occult element, which I got into, unfortunately. But I remember going to this old Missouri Synod Lutheran church, and the pastor always wore a black, solid black robe. Little white collar, black robe. And then I remember, I think it was probably in the 60s, early 60s, suddenly he appeared one Sunday with the black robe with a white robe over the top of the black. And people started saying, "Hey, he's turned Catholic." That's what the priest does. And it occurred to me, okay, this white robe, the fleece of a sheep is white. So you've got this wolf with black on, and he puts white over it. He's in sheep's clothing. So he stands there and represents his particular ministry in that fashion. Very interesting how things fall into place. But basically, it's what's on the inside. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I know pastor that we had for a while in Clintonville at St. Martin Lutheran Church many years ago, they found out he often had slurred speech. I mean, really, really slurred speech. Finally, he was the district overseer over a whole bunch of churches, like a bishop. And finally, he just came out and he said he had this aversion to orange vodka. And we get up to minister, he'd be hammered all the time. An orange vodka. So he just decided, well, I'll move on to another congregation. I don't know whatever happened to him after that. I thought, boy, there we go. I knew something wasn't right there. So, if you're not really serving God, you're open to anything. Ravening wolves. I know old Sister Hart. I've told you about her in the past. She, dear sister, prayed me off the street. I'd walk past her place. She lived right next door to the Red Owl store in Clintonville, sat out on a screen porch. And I'd walk past there, and she always asked her niece, "Who is that boy? Who is that boy?" She said, "That's Gordon Meyer's boy." And of course, she had known the family back five generations, all the way back to my great-great-grandfather, Wildcat Hank. They called him that because he had these dogs and this old percussion cap musket, and he'd go out hunting wildcats. But anyway, so he was a regular Daniel Boone sort of guy, you know. But she would pray me in off the, she prayed me in literally right off the street. And she was so, her face lit up when I walked in the church door one time and came in and repented and got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I remember her telling me, she said, I had been a Lutheran, and she said, what got me here is I was so sick one Sunday I could not go to church. And I had to stay in bed. And she said, after church, I looked up. And she said, I'd just been reading in my Bible. It said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. She said, just then I looked up and I saw the elders from the Lutheran church all walking into the Leaning Tower. That was a tavern across the street. And she said, how could they pray for me if they're going in there to have a belt? They wouldn't be doing me much good. Well, she had been witnessed to and finally she had come in. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. What a dear sister. Amen. Died at age 95. She's the one who won her husband over through persistence in prayer. Her husband was Charlie Bone, which in German means bean. B-O-H-N. Charlie Bone was the president of the Dairyman State Bank in Clintonville. And he had, he was a typical banker. He looked like a Monopoly man, you know. A mustache and gold watch fob hanging off from his suit with a vest and everything. Really, really fancy dresser. And he kept telling his wife, well, I have a business to think about. I have my standing in the community and so forth. He'd never wanted to go to church with her. And she pleaded with him and pleaded with him. Couldn't get him there. After I don't know how long went by, it was quite some time. One Sunday morning she walked out all ready to go to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And out walked Charlie, tears rolling down his face, saying, I want what you've got. He went with her. He got baptized, the bank president. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And you know, the congregation had no building at the time. I think they were using some facility, and a church building came open for them to buy. And old Sister Hart, as she came to be, because she remarried after Charlie had died, she went ahead and bought the church for 50 bank shares and donated it and gave it to the Lord. Amen. So these are things, we're talking about the true and the false today. The genuine and the ingenuine. Now, he says, beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? That's pretty obvious. You know, you're not going to be gathering grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. It just doesn't happen. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What could be simpler than that? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you got a tree and it's bringing forth bad fruit every year, what good is it? Might as well chop it down, burn it. Start another one. And he's talking here about people and the things that they do, the things that they say. And we check our fruit. You know, what am I bringing forth? What am I producing for God? I can't just be thinking about myself all the time. I've caught myself doing that many times, especially after my recent surgery and injuries. Just am very impatient and waiting to get better. I had to tell myself, you've got to quit thinking about yourself. Because happiness, if you really want happiness, look at the word joy. It's Jesus, others, and then you. That's how you spell it. You put Jesus first, then others, and put yourself last. But you know what's amazing too? Sometimes I would be in such pain, it was indescribable, and I would call out to the Lord. And I'd say, Lord, I know I need help in praying. Would you lay it on someone's heart out there to pray for me right now? And you know what? I can feel it when it happens. All of a sudden, somebody out there is praying for me. And it's awesome. Oh, the power of prayer. If someone pops into your mind to pray for that person, pray for that person. Right then, do it. Because God will work a miracle. All right? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So we must do his will. It's not just a matter of saying, Lord, Lord. But what am I doing? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice, it isn't that he did know them and then didn't know them. He never knew them. Everything they did was for a big show. Benny Hinn? Possibly. Wishing people backwards, Kenneth Copeland, saying that he has had the power, he could have died for your sins. Wow. Wow. No, the Lord said, I never knew you. Never. We look for mighty works. We look for miracles. Some people chase after them and go across an entire continent to find miracles. And it's a big show. That's all it is. But there are the genuine. God does work miracles. Amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So if you hear it and do it, you're wise. And you're like a man that builds his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, it wasn't the house that was so great, although it may have been a great house, but it was the foundation that made all the difference. What is it built upon? I'm sure that Mike Town here is a builder. He and his father, they've had a business for years and years. I'm sure if they were going to build a house, they wouldn't put one down on the beach, right on the sand by the water. And I've actually watched him work a little bit. I haven't, only one time, and he is something. When Mike does work, you get your money's worth. He never stops moving. Never saw anything like it. But you know, the foundation is what matters here. If it's built on a rock, you've got something solid. If the foundation's going to stay, so will the house. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, those that hear and don't do it, they have the opportunity, but they don't do it, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It must have been, I can just imagine, it must have been a great house, but down it came. So he's laying this out for us here. It's in our hands. He told us what to do. To follow his ways, follow his teachings. Dedicate our lives, be faithful to him. Be faithful in gathering together and worshiping him. And your life will be built up more and more. And you'll be made ready for his appearing. And he will appear soon. The sky is going to burst open. Anytime. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teachings. It astonished them. Why? What were they accustomed to hearing? They were accustomed to hearing the rabbis drone on and on about customs and religion and traditions and traditions of the elders. This was different. This was doctrine directly from heaven, given by God, the creator of the universe, in the form of a man. As he stood there on that hillside, I can almost see him in my mind's eye. I can see him standing there teaching. Oh, I wish I could have been there. I really want to see him. I'll tell you, I want to see him so I can just crumple before him and fall down and worship. But you know, I can worship him right here. I can start now. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The scribes didn't have authority. When Jesus taught, there was that authority, that power from heaven. This is how it is. This is it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is the way. Walk ye in it.
Yeah.
And so we completed the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know where the Lord will take us next, but I'm going to be seeking Him. I just want to ask, do you appreciate this type of a study? I know I preach a lot of times, and that's necessary too, but I just feel like God wants us in this sort of a thing right now. And we're going to grow in grace, and we're going to advance. And let's watch His mighty hand work. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy holy word today. We thank Thee for this study. Oh God, I pray that Thou wouldst set us on fire to do Thy will. Oh Lord, just to always be seeking after Thee and always ready to help others to find Thee, that they might be saved as well. For this is Thy will, that we bring forth much fruit. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst move upon us with Thy cleansing power. Lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus and show us Thy will. Help us to walk in Thy ways. And O God, let Thy word be performed in our lives and let Thy name be glorified and exalted always. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse world, and generation. Help us, Lord, that our light would shine. We want to be true, genuine, real Christians. Nothing hypocritical, nothing phony. Just yielded to Thee. So be Thou with us, Lord, I pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Brian, do you want to... close the service somehow?
Well, just all go to prayer, I guess.
Sure.